We've been redeemed from the curse, but it's still out there. The curse hadn't been done away with. We've been redeemed from its power.
Join Kenneth Copeland and special guests Dr. Don and Mary Colbert as they uncover the truth concerning our daily nutrition and how that leads to a healthy lifestyle. Next on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And I want to tell you something. This Dr. Colbert is so turned on, I couldn't hush him up long enough to get the camera turned on. Praise God. Praise God. Doc, thank you for being here. Mary, God bless you, sweetheart. We appreciate you guys' ministry and the thing that God has called you to do is to get the body of Christ into a place where it's well and strong and into a place where it knows how to resist sickness and resist disease. And all of the wellness... Not just healing, but wellness has to do with what we read yesterday from the 112th Psalm.
Amen.
Is being established and strong, and so that you're not afraid of evil tidings. Amen. And your spirit is established, trusting God. Mm-hmm. I mean, that brings
that's right.
That you're well, where sickness and disease just bounce off of you, man,
Amen.
And off of the armor that God has given you.
Well, even Jesus said, he said, in this world, you are going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. In other words, have gratitude, have thanksgiving, for I've overcome the world. And also, it's
I defeated this thing. Now, quit worrying about it and get in here and do something with it.
And just thank me through it. Thank me through the problem. In other words, be thankful, not for the problem, but in the problem, be thankful.
You just brought up something. We were talking about going into this today. Anyway, so let's go to the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Religion has told us every kind of goofy thing you can think of that the reason this has come on you is God wants to teach you something. He's the one that put that cancer on. He didn't put that cancer on anybody.
Amen.
But if you don't understand that, you can just get your brains kicked out and not have any defense for it.
That's right.
And I want to bring this up because this has to do with the whole cycle of being well, spirit, soul, body. You hear people say, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, good people make bad choices.
That's right.
And through ignorance and a lot of
seed time and harvest, too.
But the seed time and harvest principle carries in it all the answers.
Sure it does.
And I want to read this. Jesus said, in explaining this to his own staff, he said, the sower sows the word. So the word is seed, isn't it?
Absolutely.
These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. When they have heard, Satan comes immediately to take away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, this is Satan's job. It's what he does, and God didn't hire him. He's self-employed. This is what he's after. Now, these are they likewise which are sown on good ground, on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves and so endure but for a time. When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake.
Now the word of God says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I have delivered them out of them all.
Well, back up, though, just a hair before we get into that, because
I'll tell you,
people have got a wrinkle here that's allowing the devil to steal everything.
Right. Yes.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but why? To keep the word from working in the life of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
It is the biggest war on earth.
Sure
Satan
is
trying to stop this word.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He upholds all things by the word of his power.
Yes. Amen.
Now, when we get into this and begin to realize the only reason this thing has come on me is Satan is afraid of me. He's afraid
still
of
the
potential that is in me and my potential to produce the word of God. Oh, that when you got dangerous when the word started building in you when your grandbaby was dying but instead of just when that began to rise up in you, you didn't let the devil steal it. And not only that, you established a battlefront, and he was whipped right there.
But again,
there was no way he'd get through that.
The soil, those three bad soils. First of all, that wayside soil. The word can't plant in wayside soil. It's trodden underfoot. In other words, immediately Satan comes, he steals that word. So really, you don't even, you may hear it, but you don't understand the word. See, when you don't understand it, you can hear the word, but if you don't understand it and are able to implement the word in your life, it's wayside soil. And the soil is your heart and your mind. The seed is the word, but what's happened is that seed falls on the mind that doesn't understand it, and then the seed falls on when you have tribulation and when you have persecution and affliction, then immediately, see, Satan can literally steal the word out of our heart that's been planted by this affliction and tribulation and persecution. And then there's the thorny soil. The thorny soil is when the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for more things literally choke the word. And so even though the word's been planted, instead of seeking ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we seek things. We seek
money,
new boats, boats and cars and things that take us away from his word. And as a result, the word is choked and pulled up by the root. And then so the word is simply being sown in our heart. And then when we encounter these tribulations, or when we encounter these tremendous burdens that we go through, that we face, tribulations all the time and affliction, we don't have the word planted in us. So doubt and unbelief and fear and worry come out of us. And then it's literally faith in reverse. And so we get what we fear most comes upon us. But if we plant it in good soil and we water that word, by meditating on the word, by speaking the word, by thinking the word, we literally plant the soil and the word goes deep. And sometimes there's three bad soils and there's three good soils. So depending on the faith that we have accumulated and the gratitude that we practice, we can literally manifest a 30-fold fruit, which is fruit of the Spirit, a 60 or a 90-fold return, but fruits are other things. We're talking about it could be the fruit of the Spirit. It could be the fruit of our labor. It could be the fruit of our health. But we will literally, by sowing the word in us, when that tribulation, we all get it, when it comes, the word is, when we're squeezed, and everyone's going to be squeezed at some time.
That's right.
I mean, someone's going to face a major illness in the family or some major financial crisis, or some accident or something like this, or some lawsuit. And when you're squeezed, we're going to see what kind of soil you have, what's been planted in your heart. If a lot of fear and doubt and anger and bitterness comes out of you, then you're one of those three bad soils.
Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak.
Sure.
You can't keep that from happening. You might try to guard it a little bit. It'll come out of there, man.
Whatever's been planted in you is what's going to come out when you're squeezed. Yeah. We're all going to be squeezed. But if you've had the word planted in you, the word is literally going to rise up in you when you go through that affliction and tribulation.
Now, I've noticed it over all these years. One of the very first things that Satan will try to get you to do is just become passive.
Yes.
Well, and if he can get you to thinking religion, and you begin, well, now, this may be God trying to teach me something here. No, it isn't. It's the devil trying to steal the word out.
That's right.
You know what happens? People begin to look at what has happened before, or what is typical with what happens with other people. So what happens is we begin to put in a measuring stick of experiences.
Instead of the word.
Instead of the word.
That's absolutely
But
true.
Then when you're squeezed by that trial or tribulation, then how are you going to react?
Are you going to react with the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance? Or are you going to react with the fruit of the flesh of worry and fear?
Back, I'm talking about when I was a student at Oral Roberts University. And I had just gotten hold of the integrity of God's Word that I believe Jesus said these very words. I believe this happened just exactly like it says. And I said, well, okay.
That was me.
Now this, everybody there heard the Word. Every one of them received it with gladness. And in each one of them, it says it went into their hearts. The Word did its part. God did His part.
Yes.
But there was only 25% of them that was any resistance to the devil.
Right.
So I think about that. I thought, you know, I'm going to be in the 25%.
Amen.
And I began to pray over that. And I began, the more I thought about it, the more I realized, hey, if I don't make some firm commitment to this to be in that 25%, I'm not going to be the kind of soil that'll maintain me.
That's so good.
And the more I thought about it, the more I realized, you know, I'm going to have to make some serious commitments here.
That's right.
In order to be good soil, yeah, but I want to be in this. I want to be in this 25%, and I don't want to be in the 30-fold. I want to be the 100-fold.
Amen.
Well, there's been times I wasn't but tenfold.
<That's right.
laughs> But tenfold is pretty good.
That is pretty
better
good.
Than
better than this other side over here. And the more I studied it, and the more committed I became to it, and just sit down and take communion and judge myself before God and repent and forgive, get over into the commandment
Amen.
Of love. It says they have no root in themselves, so endure for a time, but they become offended.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's unforgiveness.
Yeah. And you get
it. That chokes the Word.
And Ephesians 3, where it says, be rooted and grounded in the Word. I mean, in the love of God. Well, they had no root, so
that's right.
No root in the love of God. Anyway, all this process over a period of time. And so I began to take communion over this and examine myself and begin to make commitments before God, because like the guy said, troubles are coming, you know. And I don't care what you think you've been through. If you don't stay with the program, it's going to get worse every time.
That's right.
I mean, that's just the way the devil works, and it's the way the world works.
Right.
So
the
commitment to it is what I'm trying to get to here. If it's 30-fold results, you let go of 70-fold somehow.
That's right.
Because 100 was available.
That's true.
It's available to all of them. He's no respecter of persons.
Right.
So it's not God's fault.
No.
If I messed up here, if I got 10-fold, I dumped 90 somewhere down the line, and I want to know where it is. So that's that kind of commitment to Jesus as my minister, my... He ministers my seed.
Yes,
he ministers my food to me. He ministers the multiplication of my food. But I have to be a good soldier in the army of the Lord.
You know, this is what you're saying, Ken. To the carnal mind, it's foolishness. Anybody watching, they're thinking, that just appears to be foolish. That's because their mind is carnal. But it is life. What you're saying is life.
Well, it doesn't make sense to the normal mind, to the logical mind. We're taught to think logically. Just, for instance, the tithing principle. Now, it doesn't make sense to give 10% of your money away, and yet you can get a 100-fold return. Now, that doesn't make logical sense. So, but then you see great men that have literally used this principle and become extremely wealthy. And literally, we were talking last night, you were talking about some of the great men who've used this principle. And
they're
now
not
they're,
even
they're,
believers,
they're
but they believe in the
principle.
Well,
and so because they saw other people do it, and they did it because they did it, and they had and then got into a certain amount of financial success because the principle works.
The principle works.
And this principle, too, again, of seed time and harvest, as well as sowing the seed and having the right kind of soil in our mind and in our heart. Now, a lot of people out there that are sick, that have depression, that have anxiety, that have heart disease, that have cancer, that have diabetes, that have all of these degenerative diseases, many times they have the soil of their heart and mind, which is just simply your thoughts. What do you think of?
Yeah.
It's simply bad soil because we put in the wrong thoughts. Many times, most of the patients I see have been watching the news or watching movies, you know, that are not really edifying to the mind, that are not planting the word. They literally pull the word out.
They're on the curse side of everything, aren't they?
Well, what it is, it's the cares of the world, and it's
well,
the pleasure.
The curse side.
It's the pleasure of the world. We're looking to
if we've been redeemed from the curse, but it's still out there. The curse
right.
hadn't been done away with. We've been redeemed from its power.
Right.
But if you think on the cursed side of things, if you talk on the cursed side of things, and you act on
trouble.
The cursed side of everything, it's going to have its way
but,
in your life.
But
it?
What it is when you think of like thorny soil, the cares of this world, that's worries, the deceitfulness of riches, where people get their minds off the Lord and onto the riches, and the desire for more things. Now, things in and of themselves are not bad. Having a nice car, having a nice house.
But they're not the answer.
Right.
And that's where people get in trouble with it.
But
isn't that where the deceitfulness is?
It is.
They get the idea mm-hmm. that that's the answer.
That's where
right.
they'll find happiness.
They're looking at the gift and not the giver.
Exactly.
They're focused on the gift and not the giver. And what happens, even though they have that new car, that new boat, or whatever else they have, then it takes them away from spending time with the
you
Lord.
You know what that is? That's the definition of materialism. It's not having it, the material, is mm-hmm. trying to get the material to answer questions that are spiritual
right.
and not carnal.
That's right.
Now, to bring this into a health perspective, for me, a few years ago, because I'm around a medical doctor, everywhere we go, Ken, people want to talk about
their
when
problems.
They went to the bathroom last or...
Well, their health problems. I've got an aching pain right here. What can I do about it?
I mean, you can't imagine. No matter where we go,
that's right. We'll be at a restaurant. Some person say, "Oh, Dr. Coburn,
can I just ask one question?
Just one question. I got a pain right here. Can you tell me what I can do?"
Or sometimes it's a lot worse than that, and we're trying to eat.
I know.
So I got truthfully. So I really got to a point. I thought I do not want to hear about food. I don't want to hear about health. I don't want to hear about I don't want to hear about none of this stuff anymore. I got overloaded and I thought,
right.
and I kind of like threw the baby out with the bathwater and I thought, I am just done with all this. It's just overwhelming. And I just thought, I'm going to eat whatever I want to eat. And
she rebelled totally.
I mean, I went into rebellion. And it was so funny because it wasn't 2 months. I was into my just, I'm going to do whatever I want. I've had enough of this. I can't hear no more.
You're going to die of something. I might as well die enjoying myself.
I was like, you know what? You are. You're going to die of something. You know, I've heard it from everything. And I thought, man, I'm just going to enjoy it while I can. That was my attitude. And all of a sudden one day, I heard the Holy Spirit's little voice. And he said, you're my garden. And he said, so when you reap disease and you start getting these diseases, don't you come moaning and crying to me. You're going to reap
uh-huh.
what you're sowing.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm your garden. And then all of a sudden I thought about Adam and Eve and how he put them in mm-hmm. a garden. And then I began thinking about a garden. And a garden has to be watered. It gets rocks in it.
Pull the weeds out.
It's got weeds that'll grow in it.
Yeah, sure you do.
All the time.
Absolutely. You got to stay with it. And a garden will become the fruit of whatever you do. If you put a little attention into it, little attention will show. If you put a lot of time and care into it, it'll produce after what you put into it. When I heard him say, I'm his garden, all of a sudden the soil of the word and how he made and how he made Adam and Eve learn the principles of gardening. We are his garden. Each of us are. So what you're willing to put into this, invest in this in your health, put into it what's right, nourish it, give it what
it
requires.
Not only food, but also thoughts. And thoughts are so important. A lot of people are focused on what you put in the body And Jesus said, hey, it's not what you put in the body that defiles a man. It's what comes out of the mouth of man is what defiles us.
Our
thinking. Sure.
That's right.
Yeah. That's where you're getting squeezed.
But when we balance it with all of what God's Word says, with the understanding that you are not your own anymore.
Bought with a price.
You are His garden here on earth while you live here and thrive. You're His living garden, and you ought to be producing 100-fold. That's His best. And people say, well, you know, Mary, I believe God put this on me to teach me a lesson. You get a headache, don't take Tylenol.
That's right.
You know, learn
He's
that lesson.
He's trying to teach you.
Don't go to see a doctor.
That's right. Learn your lesson once and for all.
Now, you know, really, that's how off the wall religion is.
That's exactly right.
Because that is to get you to be passive in this thing and lay down and let the devil steal the word out of you. And if he can do that with you, he can use you to spread it through your family and every other
and friends and anyone that'll listen.
He's trying to keep you from governing his affairs, is what he's
trying to do. That's exactly right. That's
and
the whole
that's why he
line.
Comes to steal that word. If he knows he can steal the word, either by wayside soil, in other words, you don't understand what the word says.
He don't care how religious you are.
Or by tribulations. He's going to throw as many tribulations until you learn it. And a lot of people, I tell them, when are you going to finally learn this and exercise your faith and your gratitude muscle? See, there's a lot of Christians out there with real weak, flabby faith and gratitude muscles. They've never exercised them. We have to exercise that daily in little things. And then when this trial hits, those muscles are rock hard strong, and you flex those muscles, and you stand. I used to be knocked over and over again, and finally I said, I'm tired of getting knocked down and standing up. And finally he says, why don't you just stand? And why don't you get ready? Why don't you exercise your faith? I'm not going to exercise it for you. You've got to do it.
Yeah.
And so I started exercising my faith on little things. And it's just like shooting free throws at a basketball game. You don't wait till the tournament before you start shooting free throws.
If you do, you're going to lose
the game. You start before the season starts.
This last few seconds here, I have to put this in the mix. So important. Don't ever, ever, ever feel sorry for yourself. That is the first stage of complete collapse of all of the spiritual power that God has put in your place. You get under persecution and affliction and the cares of this world and all of that stuff trying to enter in. It can't get you if it can't enter in. It says entering in. It chokes the word. If the first step to disaster is, I just don't deserve this. I just don't want to. You don't want to be talking about what you deserve. No. You won't get back on grace just as fast as you get back over there. And you get yourself by your spiritual ear and you pull yourself back down on your knees and you say, Kenneth Copeland, you shut up that kind of thinking and get back on your commitment before God and stop this feeling sorry for yourself because your brethren have been afflicted in like manner. And you get up from here and get yourself off of your mind and get back in where you need to be, a good soldier in the army of the Lord who endures hardship. Praise God. And out of that comes a blessing of God. And we're out of time.
100-fold return.
Yeah.
100-fold.
Amen. That's where you need to be. And that's the way you get there. We'll be back in just a moment.
I think people turn to food to answer a problem every day. I know I do. If I'm tired or sad or even when I'm happy, I seem to celebrate with chocolate. No, I absolutely believe that. I think that's why a lot of people have weight problems.
Some people use it to fill a void, whether they're happy, sad, or, you know, do the whole binge eating thing.
Take the time to intentionally immerse yourself in God's Word and allow it to transform your life. Dive in at the 2008 Branson Victory Campaign. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for 3 days of soaking in God's Word, March 6th to the 8th at the new location of Faith Life Church, 3701 State Highway 76 in Branson, Missouri. Visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.
Every Friday is Offering Day on the Believer's Voice of Victor broadcast, and the Lord has instructed us to always use this scripture. And here we are again, right in the same flow of what we've been talking about. Let him that is taught in the Word communicate, or let him that's taught in the Word respond to him that teaches in all good things. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, Dr. Colbert brought this up a couple of times this week. Now, listen to this. He that sows to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But now listen, he that sows to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting, or zoe in the Greek language, the very life of God. Now here's what that is plainly saying. Once you've had the Word sown into your heart and you don't respond, then you're just sowing to your flesh. But when you respond to that by sowing into your spirit, you give of your finances, you give of yourself, you give in response to that, then you begin to receive the life that's been sown in there, and it begins to take root because you are responding with faith. You're responding in the Spirit. Praise God. Now, Father, I'm asking you, sir, to reveal to people what you would have them do concerning the finances of this TV ministry and the outreaches of Kenneth Copeland Ministries around the world. And as you reveal it to them, and as they sow, as they respond and react, then the very life of God that's in the words that they've heard all this week will begin to take root and begin to produce mighty faith. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, if you live outside the United States, then your offering doesn't come to the United States. It stays in the area where you're watching the broadcast and will minister to you through that avenue. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, great, mighty things are happening all over this earth, and you need to be a vital part of it. Go to church this weekend. I mean, cause a revival or a riot or something. I mean, get in there and just, you know, preach the stuff you've been hearing. Praise God. And then all next week, Don and Mary Colbert are going to be here with us again. We're going to have a great time. Doc, thank you so much. You. Mary, God bless you. And until the next time, this is Kenneth Copeland, Dr. and Mary Colbert, reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
This is the year of fullness of blessing. If you'd like more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or today's Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, visit our website at kcm.org or call 800-575-4455. Monday on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Every time we react with fear, with anxiety, with anger, with offense, with unforgiveness, with grief, and it literally locks this stress response in us so that what happens is we literally start burning $10 worth of energy for a 2-cent problem.